above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer for your today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. God is true, and everything he promised, he will do for you. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the Jesus is the way. Jesus is the way.
Dearly Father, we just thank you for bringing us to another day of worship on your Sabbath. All praise and glory is due to you. We thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy. We thank you most of all for giving us Jesus Christ, the greatest gift ever given. And we just want to live in his word. We accept the gift of the Holy Spirit, and we just ask that you will bless us each as we go in our worship to be acceptable for you today. I pray that you will bless the pastor as he brings a message, Lord, and that we will hear your voice as your children. Be with those who are unable to be with us today, and bring those who need to hear your word through that door, and we'll be ready to give account. We give you all the praise and glory that's due to you. Through the name of Jesus, amen.
And we remember the words that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father,
our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Amen. Amen.
Our association has a camping program called Deep South Camp. It's been going on for 23 years now or so, and I've been very active in the camping program. And the best part about Deep South Camp isn't the air-conditioned cabins or the large swimming pool. It's not the zip line or the team building activities. It's not the community room where the praise and worship sessions happen. It's not the kitchen where the delicious food is prepared. The kids have a lot of fun, and many of the kids have come back to camp every year, year after year. But for me, the best part of camp is that the children are in an environment where they can be themselves without peer pressure to conform to the ways of the world. When they arrive at camp, all their electronic gadgets are stored away. They have each other, and we, their counselors, get the opportunity to teach them how wonderful it is to be a follower of Jesus. We teach them not to be ashamed of their faith, and we embrace them with a lot of love. We make them feel special. We teach them, hopefully by example, more than by words. We teach them that a victorious Christian life happens because Christ lives in me. So I want to begin with this scripture, Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. These verses remind me of what a person does naturally. Naturally, I take actions dictated by my instincts apart from the will of God. However, these verses also explain that when the Holy Spirit directs me, then I find myself doing the things that are pleasing to God. I like that idea. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Paul taught this concept. It's not me, it's Christ in me. This is what he taught to the early church. And this is what I teach here at Union Station Seventh-day Baptist Church. It's not me, it's Christ in me. The life we live is the life of Christ, Christ alone. We are changed. Our ways are changed. Indeed, even more than being changed, God offers an exchange. God offers to exchange our old way of life with a new way of life. And Paul described it by saying, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. The big idea is that your life as a follower of Jesus is not something you must produce. Rather, it is the life of Messiah Jesus reproduced in you. How many Christians understand reproduction in this sense, that it's the life of Messiah Jesus reproduced in you? The people who understand this are a lot less than you might think. You see, reproduction is different from regeneration. Regeneration happens when Jesus is planted in us by the Holy Spirit at our spiritual birth. Reproduction goes further. Reproduction means that your new spiritual life grows and becomes manifest progressively in you until the very likeness of Messiah Jesus begins to be who you are in your life. The way of Jesus is reproduced in you. Now, I'm going to say something that I usually avoid saying because we've all heard it before. But this time, I want to consider it from a different approach. I'm sure you've heard about praying for patience. We chuckle about patience because we know that patience is learned the hard way. Certainly. We learn patience by experiencing difficult situations when the virtue of patience is needed to help us make it through. But don't ever ask me to pray for you to receive patience. I'm not going to do that. You heard me right. I won't pray for you to receive patience. Why not? Because your lack of patience is not your fundamental problem. The truth is that your inability to deal with your problems is the result of Christ not living effectively within you. See, let me explain. God doesn't give you humility or patience or holiness or love as a separate gift. God doesn't dole out grace to us in a measuring cup. God doesn't measure out a portion of patience to an impatient believer. God doesn't pour a cup of compassion on someone who isn't kind. God doesn't send a dose of humility to someone who is prideful. God doesn't hand out these qualities as if they are working capital. So how do we get these characteristics? It works this way. First, God gives us eternal life. God has given us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. Your relationship with Messiah Jesus provides your eternal life. Second, remember a verse that we looked at last week. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. By God you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Jesus is holy, and through Him God gives us a package deal. Eternal life is in Christ Jesus our Lord, and our Lord Jesus Christ has sent the Holy Spirit to enable us to have a makeover into God's likeness. Do you need patience? Patience will come from the Holy Spirit that Jesus sent. Do you have a need for purity? Purity will come from the Holy Spirit that Jesus sent. Jesus is the answer to our every need. That is why Paul speaks of a singular fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. That is correct. If you go into the Greek and look and read these familiar verses, you'll see that this noun, fruit, in the Greek is in the singular. That's why I like this particular translation from the New Living Translation. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. God has given us His Holy Spirit, and when love is needed, the fruit of the Spirit is love. When joy is needed, the fruit of the Spirit is joy. It doesn't matter what your personal deficiency is. It doesn't matter if you are deficient in 101 different ways. God always has one sufficient answer. His answer is His Son, Messiah Jesus. Jesus is the answer to all our needs. I want to dig a little bit deeper. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. There are two life-directing laws mentioned here in Romans chapter 1 and chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. One law becomes active when we are physically born. The other law becomes active when we are spiritually born. What is a law, anyway? Strictly speaking, a law is an action in life, or a generalization, that when examined has no exception that can be found. Or more simply, we can say that a law is something that happens the same way over and over again. No exceptions. It's the law in the United States that you drive on the right-hand side of the road. If you drive on the left-hand side of the road and you survive, you will be stopped and ticketed, and your license will likely be confiscated. The law of gravity says that in a water balloon fight, every water balloon, after it is thrown, will fall downward. That's what happens. The law of gravity always produces the same result. See, this is not talking about laws in the Old Testament, the law of God, the Ten Commandments, or ceremonial law. This is talking about natural laws, or laws that are not... Okay, these are talking about natural laws, not man-made laws. So what about this law called the law of sin and death? Well, if someone speaks unkind words about another person, something inside that person gets triggered that can produce some not so nice responses. Hair may stand up on the back of the person's neck. The person may respond with harsh words, maybe angry actions. It happens. But unlike a law for driving a car, the law of sin and death is a natural law. The law of sin and death cripples your ability to do good. We need deliverance from a law like that. We need deliverance from the law of sin and death. Does the law of gravity ever go away? No. If you continue to hold your water balloon, it won't fall. But the law of gravity is still in place. Do you have to think about the law of gravity? No. Because it's natural. It always happens. Likewise, we can't deny the law of sin and death. It's natural, and it's always around. But there is another law, a superior law, that can overcome the law of sin and death. The superior law is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. This law is strong enough to deliver us from the law of sin and death in all its forms. Jesus the Christ has triumphed over death in all its forms, and now he dwells within us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And if we commit ourselves to the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we will find that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus supersedes the old law of sin and death. It is possible for us to know what it means to be kept, not by our own insufficient strength, but by the power of God. How is it that Paul was able to declare, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me," in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. How is it that Paul, who wrote in Romans chapter 7, that those things that he did not want to do, that's what he did? Romans chapter 7 that Paul also wrote tells me that if I don't realize that Jesus is my life, then I will live a disabled Christian life. Disabled Christian life at every turn. Disabled Christians feel that they can never please God. So how is it that Paul was able to write this, yet he wrote that he was the worst of all sinners? The answer was right there in Romans chapter 8, verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. I like the way Peter put it. We, by God's power, are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. God's power, that's the Holy Spirit. We are being guarded through faith. Have you ever pushed a car that ran out of gas? Certainly. What happens as soon as you stop pushing? The car stops rolling. Sadly, too many believers try to drive themselves by their own willpower. They end up being tired and bitter. They try to force themselves to do what they are not. It's just like trying to push a car. Life is difficult when we don't get going because we are doing all the pushing. We need a power source. And what is that power source? God's power. We need the Holy Spirit. Yet why do so many people use their own willpower to try to please God? How is that? As a first response, they may not be a member of God's family, in which case they don't have a new life to draw upon. Or they may have been born again, but they haven't yet learned to trust in their new life. Without an understanding of the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, it's easy to slip into an acceptance of habitual failure and sin. See, we have a twofold salvation. We read in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, a very familiar verse. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. This law isn't something new, or this verse doesn't tell us it tells us half of the story. The second half is in Romans chapter 8, verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. This law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is simply another way to describe what we already have. What's described in Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Romans chapter 8, verse 2 unveils what God has already given to us. And if we understand this, there's no need for an unhappy struggle to please God, because there is no need for a fruitless display of willpower to be repeated over and over again. God has given us not only eternal life, but he has also given us the law of the Spirit of life. Like the law of gravity, which is a natural law, the law of the Spirit of life is also a natural law. This law of the Spirit of life is like the law that controls the movement of your eyelids or the beat of your heart. We don't need to think about blinking our eyes to keep our eyes clean. We don't need to think about willpower in order to make our hearts beat. As long as we have breath, our hearts beat spontaneously. We also don't need to use our willpower to invoke the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It's a natural law that creates a desire within us for the ways of God. It creates a hunger within us to read God's word and to learn more about him. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is a substitute for the old law of sin and death. The old law is still there, but now we can be out of its grip. God has been gracious to us. The Apostle Paul wrote that we should not be anxious. Jesus told the people to consider the lilies. They grow. God's word directs our attention to the new law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. We need to appreciate the life God has given us. As we grow, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is all about transforming us, reproducing in us the characteristics of Messiah Jesus. We become spontaneous in our love for the unlovely. We see possibilities in others that before we never could have. We stop pretending. And others begin to see the ways of Messiah Jesus in us. See, we were born under the law of sin and death. In response, God took two steps. The first step was that he intervened to deal with the fundamental issue of our sin. That's right. He sent his Son in the flesh to provide salvation for us so that the righteous requirement of the law would be fulfilled in us. The second step was that God sent his Holy Spirit to indwell us so that we can walk according to the Spirit. We don't work according to the Spirit. We walk according to the Spirit. Our lives are not lived for God through our own strength. Rather, we are in submission to the Holy Spirit. It's this natural law. The Spirit of life that set you free in Christ Jesus. Are you familiar with the benediction found in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses? Chapter 13, verse 14. That's where it's at. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The Holy Spirit is found throughout the Bible. The love of God is the source of all spiritual blessing. The grace of our Lord Jesus has made it possible for spiritual wealth to become ours. And the fellowship of the Holy Spirit is the means through which spiritual wealth is imparted to us. See, what the Father has devised concerning us, his Son has accomplished for us. And now God's Holy Spirit communicates it to us. That is the purpose of the Holy Spirit, to make real in us all that is ours through the finished work of Messiah Jesus. So I would like to finish these thoughts by repeating this wonderful benediction. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Joy that floods my soul.
touched me, He made me whole. Since I met this blessed Savior, since He cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise Him. I'll shout and while eternity rolls, He touched me, oh, He touched me. And oh, the joy that was my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me. Floods my soul.